Hey, Mr. J is an elementary school counselor who has written a series of books on character education. You're going to love his stories centered around Willie and his friends. By the way, listen for him to explain the techniques of bibliorimology as a focus for his writings and teachings.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Hey, today I'm talking with Kip, Mr. J. Jones. Mr. J. is a school counselor at Alcoa Elementary School in Alcoa, Tennessee. He is an author and a national speaker and a husband and father. He and his family live in Maryville, Tennessee. He often can be found speaking at schools on character education and bullying prevention. He has an urban character education series of graphic novels published by Boys Town Press. They center on his main character, Willie Bohannon, and his friends. His series currently has 3 books plus activity books to go with the titles: The Power of an Attitude of Gratitude, The Power of Bystanders, and The Power of Self-D. The books are written in rhyme, which is part of the bibliorimology concept. His book series is a winner of the Mom's Gold Choice Award. Kip currently is working on a 4th title, which will be on the subject of peer pressure. Say hi to everyone, Kip.
Hello, everyone. And it's a pleasure to be with you today, Steve. I really appreciate you having me on with you today to talk. It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate your books. We're going to get into those in just a second. But before we get anywhere else, I just got to say this, because as I was getting to know who you are and looking at this, you can't help but find all these pictures of you wearing just lots of orange and a big letter T, and you're on this campus. I think it's called, what's that small school up there? University of Tennessee, you know? I don't know if we're allowed to talk. I'm a Georgia graduate. I think there's a law against us talking, isn't there?
Now, listen, I've got much love for Georgia, too, because, you know, originally I'm from Spalding County, but I am up here right outside of Knoxville, so this is big orange country, Steve, and if I recall, last year I think we did win the game. So you won't there, big buddy.
I don't know if I remember anything, but yeah, you might.
I understand. Amnesia kind of comes with those losses. I understand.
Exactly. That. I'm having a tough time recalling that. Well, I just had to say that. For those of you who don't know, you know, Georgia and Tennessee normally are very big rivals,
and
so anyway, well,
just wait till this year, Steve.
Exactly.
Tennessee's got something for everybody this year.
Hey, I think Georgia's got something happening too. So this might actually be a good one. Let's see what happens. So, let's talk about working with kids. You know, once I was getting ready to talk with elementary kids in small sessions on career day, I always worked with high school kids. I'm not counting the working outside of school and stuff like this, but as a principal, I was always principal of high school, and I was a principal then, and I was part of a career day, and I asked the elementary principal, I said, well, you know, because they had invited me to come talk, and I said, well, what do K through 5 kids like to hear? And she said, they want to hear 3 things. They want to know what you like about your job, what you don't like, and how much you get paid. So we can skip the part about getting paid if you want, but what do you like most about being a counselor, and what do you like least?
Well, of course, being a counselor is the rewarding job of trying to help kids through some difficult times in their lives, and that's a lot to do with individual, maybe group counseling, but also in the classroom is a big, big opportunity to present kids with character education, life skills, and, you know, with nowadays I think that schools have kind of made state testing the main objective or the main event, so to speak. And it's a big event. I'm not going to disagree with that. I don't think it should be the main event, though. I think it should be a big event. But teaching our kids character, how to respect others, the things they're going to use for the rest of their life, you know, it's not going to be graded on a test, so to speak, but it will be graded in the game of life, so to speak. You know what I mean, Steve?
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the cool things that anybody who doesn't work with kids in any sort of capacity in a school setting doesn't understand that you know, it's very unique, and I don't know how else to describe it. No matter what your job is in a school, you are more than you know, a classroom teacher. You are more than a person in the building who has to make sure they get in their classes and stuff like this. You take on roles to help them get through life. I mean, would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. You know, to be able to help a kid through some problems that may be existing is a very rewarding thing for not only counselors, but, you know, as well as teachers. They're kind of counselors themselves, and the fact that they spend the majority of their homeroom classes together, and so they need to be able to be there for support as well. And a lot of times as counselors, we also consultate with the teachers to kind of inform them of what's going on, or vice versa, you know, because the teacher, a lot of times, they're the one that has the child for the most part of the day. I get the children, at least in my circumstances, and it's different with school counselors everywhere, but most of the time with elementary school counselors, you're going to spend some time in the classroom, the guidance classroom, teaching character education. And you know what, Steve, that's a good way to get to know all the kids, because you have all the kids. And this year and most years I'm in the specials rotation with PE, music, and art, technology. So we rotate and we have all the kids together. Now, this year is a great schedule for me, and for the most part, I'd say counselors like a schedule that where they're in the classroom about half the day, if a little less than that, and then through the rest of the day, they have time to be able to have their small groups and individual counseling to make sure they meet those one-on-one needs with the students.
That's excellent. If you had your druthers, what would you like most of your day to be about?
Well, I've had both. That's a great question. There have been times that I've been in the classroom for most all of the day, and you just have to adjust each year. But for the most part, I enjoy the classroom. I don't know if a lot of elementary counselors can say the same, but most of them like the individual counseling, the group counseling. But I'll have to say that in the classroom is probably my favorite part, just because we get to do a lot of the things that I'm trying to reach the kids with and be proactive with the bibliorhomology.
Gotcha.
And the bibliorhomology, I've kind of making a little bit of adjustment with that term. It's almost like I'm moving toward, it's a biblio art, I don't want to say counseling, but in a sense it is. We're using the arts, basically, with different books that we read. And we incorporate music, dance, skits, role-playing, and different aspects of the arts to be able to reach the right brain students. And you know what? We all have a little bit of right brain in our students, some more than others. But that's the majority of students that I'm trying to reach is the right brain kids, the ones that are a little bit more into the art, so to speak.
I got you. So I'm going to come back to that term just a minute here, because I was definitely all over messing that up, what how you say it. So let's back up just a second, because one of the things that you do is you've written a series of books, and the books are written in that in that way of bibliorhythmology. Is that how you're calling it?
Yeah, Ramon, and the way I came about is, of course, if the whole story is bibliotherapy. Of course, most everybody knows that is teaching kids and helping them through books and teaching them different situations that they can handle through stories, through books. This is something I've been doing all of my career. And Julia Cook, who is a big name among school elementary counselors, because she's written over 80 books on character education. She is kind of like the LeBron James of elementary school counselors' children's books. So, and I went to a conference one time and got to talk with her, and she did a workshop on putting your own stories together, writing your own stories and ideas. And so I was already doing a lot of music and songs with my kids and dances. And so I decided to take that and combine it with the bibliotherapy. And the rhymology part of it is the rhythm and the rhyme, because all my books are written in rhyme, which helps with, you know, phonological awareness and fluency when they read. They tend to remember things a little better. It helps with the flow and connect words the younger they are. And so that whole aspect of rhymology is kind of behind the rhythm and the rhyme of music, dance, and a lot of the arts. That's how that came about, Steve.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks, Kip. And since we've gotten into that and we're talking about the rhyming and so forth, let's go ahead and talk about the characters in your books, because you know, I've enjoyed reading your books, and I'd like you to give us a little background on who Willie is and where the inspiration for him came from.
Okay. You know, Willie, that's just kind of a name that I like, Willie Bohannon. I particularly can't remember. I think maybe I heard it one time watching a football game or something, maybe. And I just like that name, Willie Bohannon. That just rolls off your tongue.
It does. It does.
And so it's not based on any one person. You know, I've had probably 50, 60, 70 Willie Bohannons through my over 20-year career in education.
Nice.
You know, same with Durf and the rest of the characters. Each character, I've probably had a similar student that fits that profile in all my characters.
Nice. The characters are it's neat, because as you read more of the books, you start getting a feel for, you know, I like the way they're illustrated, and you know, you start get a feel for how they behave and how they act and how they interact with each other. So kudos there.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, you know, let's get into your books a little bit more. I like each one for different reasons, but my favorite is The Power of an Attitude of Gratitude, you know, and it really gets into this idea about, you know, the idea that some people, it's, they don't know, they should be saying thank you and not taking everything when they could take just a little bit of something and so forth. It gets into that. Talk a little bit about which one is your favorite. Do you have one? And will you choose one? Because I know that you're babies, man. But the
yeah, that's a good note. It is kind of like each book is a different child. It's hard to pick your favorite one. But, you know, I guess Attitude of Gratitude is one of my favorites, but the Power of Self-D, which is on self-determination, that may be kind of near and dear to my heart, because it was the first book that I ever wrote among the stories that I started. So it was kind of like the firstborn child, and maybe the oldest. Maybe I lean a little bit more towards the Power of Self-D, Steve.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Who's your main audience for your books? Is it kids or parents or a little of both, or is it school counselors and teachers?
I'd have to say probably kids, of course, and school counselors right behind that, because, of course, that's what I do, and I kind of know what school counselors want. And with a whole concept of the series that I've written, each book, you know, has a activity guide with it, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later. But the whole thing, the concept of giving the school counselor or teacher, elementary teacher, kind of a lesson to go by, you know, It's got discussion questions. It's got the song. It's got many activities that go along with the book that you can download off of the Boys Town Press website. And that's kind of where I think a lot of schools are going with technology. It's not so much a hard copy of a activity guide nowadays. It's downloading materials off of the computer.
Gotcha.
Directly.
Gotcha. So is it your thought that with these books, because they're for the audience, they're written in like and illustrated in a graphic novel type form. So except for being a little more cartoonish than a superhero type graphic novel. And tell us a little bit about what the feedback is that you've gotten from kids and from parents and others about your books.
A lot of the kids, and they're going to, the trend right now is kind of a comic book style novel, short story. And that's kind of what my book series is kind of a comic strip, you know, the comic strip type of format. And so therefore, the feedback's been really positive. A lot of the kids, you know, will read it individually. Librarians can order it as the book itself without the activities, just for their library. And I've got a lot of good, positive feedback from different schools that their kids can connect with a lot of the things Willie Bohannon and their friends go through. And, you know, as a counselor, we can't solve the problems for the kids, but we can give them the tools to help solve their problems. And that's kind of what the whole bibliotherapy concept is, giving the kids the tools through the books to be able to cope or deal with what they're having to face at that time in their life. And then the activities just kind of reinforce what is being taught in the book.
Nice. You know, it's if we have a second, if you don't mind, I'd like to read from, because you said that the power of self-D is one of your favorites. So here's an example of what Kip is talking about in his book, The Power of Self-D, and here's how it's written. We get into the section where it says, "See, Khalil plays the drums better than anybody I know, but he just doesn't practice enough to one day be in a rock and roll show. He could go on tour with the Day A Wright Band and be the next drumming sensation, but to get there takes hard work, a good attitude, and a lot of self-determination." Do you write? I mean, is it all you coming up with a story, and do you try it out on your family? Or?
Well, here's how it all started, Steve. I started writing these stories for my kids here at Alcoa, and the original books are my original. Concept, and in the original stories, I use a lot of familiar places here in the Alcoa community.
Gotcha.
Some of the teachers' names, things that the kids can relate with, and of course, with it being published by a company, when it was published by a company, we have what we call a creative rights contract, and when you sign to be published, the creative rights contract gives them permission to make any changes along with the author to kind of build it for a broader audience, so to speak, to reach as many people as possible. So with the originals, that's from my kids only. And the originals are a little different from what has been published. Not a lot different, but there's been different concepts. For example, the latest book that has just came out, The Power of a Positive No, is on peer pressure. But the original book that I wrote was just strictly on drugs and alcohol awareness for kids. And it's, when we got to that book to be published, my publishers wanted to reach a broader audience with not just the drug and alcohol pressure and the dangers of that, but the influence of not just that, but for any type of pressure, any type of peer pressure.
Gotcha.
So we went along the lines of trying to show that peer pressure affects all kids and adults as well. So that book is coming out. Actually, it's out this month, and it should be available within this next week.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I knew you had a fourth one coming out, and I knew it was going to be about peer pressure. That's interesting to hear about the publication sorts of thoughts on what kind of directed where it would end up in its final final look. Cool. So when you say it's coming out, are we talking about like in the next couple of weeks, literally, or?
You can actually go to the Boys Town Press website and go ahead and order the copy of it now. It just may be a week or two before it's actually shipped out, because they're just now getting it on press, and they said that it will be available within the next week. So, I mean, you can go ahead and purchase it and get the order, and it'll be shipped, directly within the next week. So it's pretty much out there, and the activity guide will probably be out within, I know, the next month. So it takes a little bit longer to get all the activities together and the songs and stuff into a format to get it on the list to be able to download.
Excellent.
But it's really a great concept, though, the way they do it.
That's awesome. So now you'll have your four books, and you've got, I know you do a lot of speaking engagements and conferences or go to schools and talk. What do you do to engage your audience in your message?
We go through a lot of, basically we go through the whole concept and the steps of bibliomorphology on how they can actually come up with ideas of their own to implement the bibliomorphology in their classroom. And I give them examples of step-by-step process. I tell them how I went about doing it. But to keep them engaged, you do a lot of the activities, a lot of the songs. We do some of the dances. We'll even do maybe a skit and just give them a taste of what the kids are going to be experiencing, what they're going to be able to get to do with the arts implemented into their curriculum. Bibliomorphology is basically just a proactive character building arts based curriculum that's going to enhance the learning style or the teaching style of every student that you have, because as we all know, students are wired differently. and if they're like me, a little right-brained, it can be a blessing and a curse, especially for students today who are subjected to the systematic cookie-cutter curriculum that's kind of forced the pedagogical teachings of school today, all because of the pressure to succeed in the left-brain world of state testing, So,
right.
We've got to let the kids have a little fun as well. And I understand, because I used to be a teacher before a counselor, there's a lot of pressure on teachers to meet those test scores standards. And so a lot of times that leaves not enough time to do some of the fun stuff. But in the bibliomorphology curriculum, if you use that, you can still reach a lot of students with some fun activities that intrigue and enhance them and make them want to move a little bit,
Yeah, and some of the pictures we got, you're talking with teachers and counselors and stuff like this, you got them up out of their seats. You're going to involve them, and do you involve your audiences in what you would like them to work with the kids on, getting them up out of their seats and doing some movements and things like this?
Exactly. Steve, sometimes we have to, as teachers and counselors, sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone just a tad.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And that's okay, because some of our kids need to get out of the comfort zones as well. And as far as the counselor's concerned, a lot of what our students' anxieties are about or fears are about, we need to have them step out of the comfort zone on a lot of these things that they're fearful of. And it's a lot like exposure therapy. What are you going to do when this situation arises? What are the steps you're going to take to be able to meet this head on sometimes? And sometimes it's not a comfortable situation to be in, but learning to be comfortable in your uncomfortableness, so to speak, is something that we need to learn to be able to do. It's not only teachers and students, but just in general in our lives.
It is difficult. I mean, if you think about working within schools, I mean, you need adults to recognize something you talked about earlier, which is that every child's different. And in order to when you recognize that, it means you got to go outside your box and outside of your own comfort zone sometimes to reach many of the kids. And it's not always the kids who struggle. The kids who are up there who understand, you know, ideas in a broader range, you know, they're just all over the spectrum. So it's all kids trying to figure that out. And so it takes you taking the opportunity to step outside your comfort zone, like you were saying. I love that idea, because that is, and so I'm going to go back to some of the pictures that I've seen around you presenting. And you see all these smiles on people's faces and stuff because they're goofing around and doing what you want them to do. And, you know, a lot of times that's something that, and I really want to go back to something else that you said, which is that idea of there needs to be fun in school. It needs to be, I don't care what age the kids are, because learning is fun. You know, if you put your thumb down on it and you push it down into everything is, it's got to be done this way, and this is the only way it's got to be done. The problem with that is that you squelch so much of the good stuff out of learning when people learn by doing and kids experience, and they find out that the teacher's right there with them trying to learn. And I just love the thought behind what you're doing. So, well, thank you.
Yeah, in order, you know, Steve, in order to teach our kids, we've got to be able to reach our kids. And we reach our kids through the hearts, and that means they have to care about what they're learning. So we have to be able to meet them halfway on a lot of stuff. Today's kids, you know, they're used to being entertained almost. I mean, they've got the video games, they got the computers, instant gratification. And so a lot of times we have to meet them halfway with some of the stuff. And, you know, if we have to entertain a little bit, then we have to do that. And that's part of just trying to reach the kid and get them interested in what you're trying to teach them. So hopefully later in life, that's going to stick. A lot of this stuff's going to stick. And the thing I like about K-5, they're really like sponges at this age, and they'll soak up a lot of stuff that you're giving them. So it's very important to set the tone early in their lives, especially with character education.
Unfortunately, too much of the media that they're surrounded by reinforces wrong types of character traits, and and it's become
exactly
more and more such. And you know, it's so it is important for them to get exposed to why. You know, it's just like one of the things that that teachers run into all the time is that kids want something for doing something, and I talk to them about you got to talk to them about why. You can't go through life that way, thinking that you're just because you picked up the piece of paper that somebody should say, you know, that was a good job, that you got to do all your work because, somebody's going to give you something for doing all your work or caring about this or that. And, you know, there's just certain character traits that have to be, that we do have to take time to talk with them about. And your books do a great job of that. And I just kudos to you for coming up with the idea and delivering those messages to other educators to help them and parents and kids work through these challenges in their lives. But before we get ready to close, and I'm going to include all kinds of links in my show notes about where they can find your books and the activity guides and the new book coming out, as well as where they can link up with you. So before we go any further, can you tell the listeners how to connect with you and find your books and maybe find out where you're talking next or something like that?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of counselor conferences through the networks and a lot of the different counselor associations that I go to. So I have a website that's, if you just type in bibliorhomology, you'll end up finding the website. Also, my Facebook page, actually, it's Kip Mr. J. Jones, and my Twitter page is at author Mr. J. And either one of those, I have to be careful about when I go and speak in different speaking engagements, because I don't want to take away from what my main job is as a school counselor here at Alcoa.
Gotcha.
That's my main objective. But it does feel good to be able to reach out to a broader audience and know that you're helping with different teachers and kids all over America with the books and the activities and the feedback I've gotten from as far as California. So, you know, and I just got back from Indiana, West Lafayette last week. I was asked to come up there and do an anti-bully program for their elementary school at Cumberland Elementary. And it was a great experience up there. But, you know, I had to miss a day or two of school, and that's something I don't want to have to start doing a lot of. So, you know, I'm open to still being able to move to a broader audience, but I still got the Alcoa family and students as my number one objective. And I just feel like I've been led to do what I'm doing now because I enjoy it, and I feel like I'm making a difference. Just like all the teachers that are in profession and counselors, that's why we do it, to be able to make a difference in a young person's life. And our reward, as you well know, Steve, is seeing them on down the road, maybe sometime as they've gotten older, and getting a thank you, or, you know, maybe having an influence on where they've gotten to in life. That's the thing that I'm most excited about when I wake up in the morning to go to work.
You're so right. I mean, it's the thing that people who don't work with kids, who don't work with families, that they think they know what it's all about, but they don't. And they just don't know. And sometimes it's the fact that you see the light bulb go on. Sometimes something happens, something changes in their behaviors, whatever it is. And, you see some success happening where there wasn't before, whatever it is. It's such a rewarding aspect of working with kids.
Exactly. And, you know, with all the seven principles of the bibliorhomology that I in institute with what I'm doing with the book series and the activities, you know, diversity is one of the principles, because, you know, you have to have each student be able to connect with a student, with a character in the book. And the book is written in rhyme, like we talked about, for better phonological awareness and you know, fluency as they read. And the songs that I have are mostly rap songs, just because I can't sing very well, but that's using that music's emotion to better help long-term memory, which is a bright brain friendly skill. And then dance, you know, you're opening up those neurological pathways for numbers and patterns and spatial awareness as well. The skits, we're taking the life skill we're trying to teach and fitting it to real world application, how they'll be using it. So, you know, that's just a few of the principles that I try to use in the bibliorhomology or the arts-based book series that I have with the activities. And I hope that it's going to continue to reach kids in that way. And I just feel good about it, Steve. I appreciate you having me on here today. I really do.
Well, I think you have just a lot, just kudos to you. The books get in a way in which kids would want to read it, and then adults would want to use them because of the messages that they deliver. And I just kudos to you for what you're doing. I thank you very much. Before we go, I got two questions that I like to ask my guests, and the first one is, if you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
That's easy. Don't try to conquer everything at one time. You'll overwhelm yourself. Take it one step at a time, one child at a time, one student at a time, and do the best that you can do. Okay? You can't reach everybody, but you can do your best to do that. And that's just one thing that I can remember first, especially getting into the counseling, school counseling field. You feel overwhelmed. You want to help every one of the kids, but your time and your own personal family will suffer from that if you try to do too much. So just try to look at it from a perspective of taking small chunks and small steps at a time, and eventually you'll reach as many students and children as you're capable of doing.
Excellent. And my last question is, do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
That's funny. It was not, I did have a lot of teachers that influenced my life, but the main one that influenced my life was a coach who was not actually even a teacher when I was in fifth grade, who was my football coach in the midget league. And he told me, you know what, you have some talent to be able to maybe go and play college one day. And that, I still remember it to that day. That gave me the confidence to be able to go ahead. And I did end up playing college football because I think he instilled that early in my life, and that stuck. So, you know, I guess that's why my heart kind of falls with the grade that I teach and counsel, because the words that we say to these young kids can mean the world and make a difference in somebody's life. So I would say to Coach Kerr, I appreciate you, and thanks for giving me those words of wisdom. And, you know, small things like that add up.
Awesome. That is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Kip, I can't thank you enough for joining me today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Steve. It's been a pleasure to be on here with you, and I think it's a great thing you're doing. Just keep up the great work.
I appreciate it, and keep doing what you're doing and creating those wonderful tools. Best wishes to you.
Thanks, Steve.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at TeachingLearningLeadingK12.com. That's TeachingLearningLeadingK12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.